If we really want to find our way in life, men, we must come to know Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm Brian Patrick, and we're beginning a brand new series on Crossing the Goal, this time becoming disciples, knowing Jesus, here on Crossing the Goal. Well, as we kick off our brand new series here on Crossing the Goal, Becoming Disciples, we've got the Crossing the Goal team back in place to serve you. From Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Vice President of that ministry. From Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And our coach, the former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. And we're very excited about this series that we're beginning, Becoming Disciples. Really, the word disciple is from the same root as discipline. It takes discipline in the pursuit of faith.
And we're doing that because we are the picture of discipline before us.
Oh, yeah. We work
now. We're very excited about this series because it's at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's really a disciple, someone who follows. He follows Jesus. If you ask the question, why does the Catholic Church exist? She exists to evangelize. You say, okay, well, what is evangelization? Evangelization is, by Jesus' command, make disciples. Okay, if we're supposed to make disciples, what's a disciple? Pope John Paul II kind of characterized it in four ways. A disciple who's alive and maturing is someone who's converted, someone who's living in serious relationship and communion, discipleship with other people, someone who's pursuing the truth that comes to us through the Scripture and the Church, and someone who's deeply engaged in the mission of the Church. So we're going to look at all four of those over the next 8 weeks. Two shows on each one of those four points.
And in order to follow Jesus, we must first know Jesus, Coach.
We do have to know Jesus, and it's amazing to find out who Jesus is. We've got to go to the Scriptures in Matthew 16, starting at 13. He asks his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he comes back and he says, but who do you say that I am?
A big question.
And
yeah.
Peter says, you are Christ, Son of the living God. And my question is to us, and the Lord is asking us, who do you guys say that I am?
Yeah.
So we're going to cover that.
Yep. You know, Danny, this is probably the most fundamental issue that we're ever going to cover in any one of our programs. It's the heart of the Catholic gospel. We frequently skip over this step, assuming that because we've been surrounded by people who know the name of Jesus, who go to church, that somehow they have been evangelized, but have each of us made that personal commitment that we will choose to be a disciple? This is a very personal issue and the foundation stone for everything else we're ever going to teach in any issue. Yeah. It's what the church is all about.
All right, so a game plan for knowing Jesus is just ahead. Peter and Curtis have our game plan next here on Crossing the Goal.
Hello, we're back. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck. And we're talking at this foundation point of this new series about knowing Christ Jesus. Now, when we talk about knowing Jesus and being a disciple, what exactly are we talking about, Peter?
You know, the Holy Father mentioned that first means to be converted. What does it mean to be converted? Someone who's converted is someone who's encountered Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ. Not a vague religious force, not the force like in Star Wars, something like, I mean, a person, Jesus Christ. And when you encounter Jesus Christ, what you hear from him, and he looks right into your eye and he says, come follow me. He's calling out to every one of us who's watching today. I want you to come follow me, Jesus said. She said, but why? Why follow you? Why not follow myself? Why not follow other ideas? He said, because I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. He said, well, what does that mean exactly? You're the light of the world. You think some of the things Jesus says just seem almost outrageous. They're so shocking. I am the light of the world. And if you ask Jesus, what do you mean? He's saying, look, you know lots of things, but you don't know the most important things. You can't answer the fundamental questions about your life, where you've come from, why you're here, where you're going, where you can find ultimate happiness, where you're going to find life after death. I'm the one who can give you. He said, well, how come I don't know that? Because you're walking in darkness. Well, why am I walking in darkness? Because you are part of a world that's fallen, and it's fallen and subject to sin and the power of death. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the one that can lead you out of darkness into the light and lead you ultimately to where you need to go. The person of Jesus alone can get us from point A to point B.
You know, it's amazing, Peter, as you say this. In the Gospels, Jesus gives us a definition of eternal life, and it's surprising to me the first time I read it. It's not a geographical answer. Well, heaven, eternal life is where you go when you die, or even a moral answer. Eternal life is what you get if you're good. Jesus defines eternal life in John chapter 17, verse 3, and he says this, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." And the word in the center of that phrase, the center of that statement, is to know. This is eternal life, that they might know you. And in English, that word limps. In Spanish, we'd have two words, saber or conocer. Saber is to be aware of facts, and that's not the word that Jesus would be using. It would be conocer, to know, to be acquainted with. But actually, Jesus didn't speak Spanish either. He spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, and the word there is yada. Yeah. And yada is a rich, powerful word. It means to be in deep, intimate, life-changing, life-giving, covenantal relationship. This is eternal life, that you might be in deep, intimate, life-giving, life-changing relationship with the eternal God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. And out of the 2,865 articles in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it's the very first sentence.
Yeah. And related to that, you think about the apostles themselves and ask the question. John said, "This is our testimony. God has given us eternal life.
Yeah.
And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son does not have life." So Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. I want to lead you to your home. I want to lead you to the place you were made for, to be with your Father forever in heaven. I'm the only one who can do it for you." So, well, then, if Jesus is the only one, the apostles were convinced. They heard the authority of his teaching. They saw his miracles. He rose from the dead, vindicated everything he ever said. And he said, "He's the one who really knows what's going on. He's the one who really knows me. How? What do I do? How do I follow him?" So you begin by making a decision. You say, "Jesus, I want to respond to your call. I want you to be the Lord of my life."
The reason this is so fundamental, Peter, is because everything else in Catholicism, which is a rich, beautiful, powerful fullness of truth and life that we find in the Catholic Church, all of it centers in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. It all makes sense. I think of my relationships in my life today that I wouldn't have if I didn't have my wife. Yeah. My in-laws, whom I love, they wouldn't be my in-laws if it weren't for her. My children, whom I love, but I wouldn't have them if it weren't for my wife. Jesus is the central relationship from which everything else in our life has to make sense. In fact, St. Paul tells us there are three types of men in 1 Corinthians. And he talks about three different types of men that all stand in relationship or not with God. What does he say?
You think about your life. Danny did this a number of series ago in three circles. You know, think of, there's three kinds of men. One circle is a cross on the outside. There's a cross in the middle circle, there's a cross just inside the circle, and the third one, there's a cross right in the middle. This guy over here has no connection or relationship with God whatsoever. This guy here, God's in my life in some way. Yeah, I believe in God, but really, I'm sitting on the central throne of my life. The third one is what it means to be a disciple. You say, "Jesus, I want you to be the center and purpose of my life. I want, like St. Paul says, now I want to make it my aim, Lord, to please you. That's my purpose in life."
And really the purpose of this program is the purpose of the Catholic Church. It is to invite every man, every woman, and every child to make that decision. Whether Christ is in your life, but just on the side, or whether he's outside of your life, to take this moment and to invite Jesus Christ into the center of your life. Brian?
All right, Curtis and Peter, great game plan. Coach, some people might assume that we've always known Jesus, but you'd be surprised.
They are going to be surprised, and we're going to tell them how we came to know Jesus.
That's right, right down in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone on Crossing the Goal in our series on becoming disciples. The first episode is knowing Jesus. And at some point, every one of us needs to reach that place of coming to know Jesus.
Yeah, you sound like the Pope John Paul II said at one point, every single believer needs to come to the point in their life where they make a decision to invite Jesus to become the Lord of their life. And for us, it happened at different times, I think. When did it happen for you, Curtis?
I was 20 years old, sophomore college.
Old. All right.
36.
You got me by 1 year, Coach. You? I was 35.
I was 19, so that's...
110 years.
110 years on the earth between the four of us collectively. When we lived, I mean, we were baptized. We baptized as babies, all you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
So we were baptized into the family of God.
Catholic
but for the
faith.
Most part, we didn't pay attention, a
right.
cumulative of 110 years, pay attention to who Jesus is and live for him.
And that's a key point, Peter, because a lot of people will watch and say, oh, well, these guys are religious
right.
guys.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, that's true by the grace of God that we have each made a personal commitment to follow Christ with
yeah.
all that we have. But there were a lot of years, 110 years between the four of us,
yeah.
where
yeah.
we had not made that decision. And has made, is there any decision in your life that's been more significant than that?
No. No, it's the biggest, for sure.
And that's not
no
to say that we didn't go to Mass or receive our First Communion
right.
and the sacraments, but Danny, how did that decision to know Jesus come in your life?
You know, we can know who Jesus is, but do we really know him personally? I knew who he was,
yeah.
but devils and demons know who he
that's
is. They
right.
quote scriptures and everything.
Yeah.
And Peter, we said how great Peter was up there. Well, Peter says, you are Christ, Son of the living God. Well, he ended up denying Jesus.
Yeah.
Later on, he says, I don't even know that man. Until
yeah.
Pentecost. After
yeah.
Pentecost, the whole ball game changed. They knew him personally. Even though they were disciples of him, apostles, they didn't really know him. But after that, they knew him in my life. When I allowed the Lord to come into my life, Lord, come into my life. You have to be number one in my
yeah.
life. Now, did bells and whistles go off? No. But I knew I had a sense. And from that point, I committed myself. I have to take a active part in this thing.
Yep.
Then the Holy Spirit will guide me along
yep.
the way. That's what we mean by opening yep. our hearts up and allow him to come in.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just drift into the kingdom of God. It doesn't
no.
just happen by inertia or something
or
like
sit
that.
Back and say,
right.
Lord, change me, and you don't do
quite
it.
Quite the opposite. The inertia pulls in the other direction.
Yeah.
Even if you were baptized as a child,
right.
if you don't make that choice, you will be pulled out of the
yeah.
kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
for me, I had to surrender my own will
right.
yeah.
before God could even reach me, before I could even think of knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
I had to, for me, at age 35, I had to be beaten down by the life that I had chosen enough to say, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
And that's when it changed for
yeah,
me. How about you?
We've been just describing, you know, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Those who follow me won't walk in darkness. For a long time, we walked in darkness. I mean, even though people said, you know, he's a Catholic, I lived a pagan life, you know, for many years, like through my high school years.
Oh, yeah.
I did all the kind of stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing. I wasn't paying attention to the Lord. And when I was about 19, one of my sisters, a couple of them really challenged me, you know, and said God was beginning to work in our family. And that the Lord wanted to go deeper. And the issue in our family was some of us had never really made a decision to follow the Lord. And my sister challenged me. I'll never forget it. And I was like,
God
you know, I was defensive. You know, I didn't want to admit it. But that night, I'm in my bed, laying in bed, and I'm looking up at the ceiling. And I'm saying, you know, God, if you're real, I want to live for you. I crawled out of bed, knelt down for the first time in years next to my bed. And I said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Same thing, bells and whistles
right.
didn't go off. I knew, though, that his diagnosis of my life was right on. I wasn't living
and
for him.
And he's not going to deny you when you
yeah.
and
right.
come before him like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
but what happened
yourself.
Was slowly things began to change. But I know there came a time I said, I want you to be at the center of my life,
yes.
like St. Paul said. I want to please you. I know I'm not, and I can't do it very well, but I want to do it.
You used an interesting term there, the diagnosis of our problem. And I think
yeah.
we need to take a moment on that because I think it throws guys off.
Yeah.
There are a lot of men out there watching who are sitting back saying, I don't think you understand how bad things are. There's two parts about this diagnosis. The bad news is worse than we think,
yeah.
and the good news is better than we think. A lot of men out there saying, I don't think you understood. If you knew where I was, this would not apply. I have really fallen outside the lines. There may be no hope for me.
Yeah.
And recognize, actually, Jesus will go one step further and say, the only thing that will solve your problem is my death on the cross
exactly.
for love of you.
Exactly.
However, the good news is he's actually willing to do that and already has done it.
Yes.
So to hold these two truths of that diagnosis, Jesus' diagnosis is both scary
yeah.
and very consoling.
Yeah. His diagnosis is your situation is terminal, but I can heal that. I'm the only one. That's Jesus' claim. I'm the only one that can solve the terminal problem of sin and death that's destroying the human race.
Yeah, but don't be confused with accepting and knowing Jesus with a smooth, easy life.
Yeah.
In fact, you could expect to be attacked.
Oh, there's no doubt. Just because we turn our life over to Jesus Christ, I know
yeah.
Jesus well, and the devil's just, oh, okay, I'll just leave Danny
yeah.
alone now.
Yeah.
No,
not
he comes after
so much.
Harder.
That's right.
I mean, he attacked because I was living in his kingdom before.
Yeah.
I was
you
following his ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And knowing I knew the ways of the devil. Now, once I turned my back on him.
Yeah.
He came after me. But I could turn to Jesus then. I
yeah.
turned for, I knew where to seek help
yeah.
rather than go to booze and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I went to him.
And after
yeah.
a while, you can almost be grateful for the attacks because when I'm attacked by Satan, I know that I'm going against him.
You're doing the right thing.
That run into Satan when you're walking the same way. Right. It's only when you're going against him that you're going to have that conflict.
I mean, Jesus was clear. He said, if you're going to make this decision to follow me, the world's going to hate you, the devil's going to hate you, and it's going to cost you. I mean, the biblical sense of the world, that part that resists God that we used to just cooperate with, now you become, you know, the devil's enemy, so he's going to go after you.
And this is a fundamental issue we have to realize. There are only two sides. I think we'd like to think it's a grayscale. There's no grayscale. You're either on one team or the other. It's like a sporting event. Pick your jersey, because the world wants to suit us up in the world's jersey. Yeah. Jesus Christ saying, play for me.
Right.
Play on my side. Obey my rule book. Live by my orders. Allow me to be your head coach, to use a football analogy, but to recognize he wants to speak into our lives and make the decision that we're no longer going to play with the world. We have to step away from that and step towards Christ.
Yeah, he's dead serious, and the stakes couldn't be higher. The problem is, far too many men who've been baptized as babies, they're not living it. They're not. No. Jesus is not at the center of their life. People say, wow, look at all the problems the church is having. Look at how weak it is. And well, the reason it's weak is far too many men have not made the decisive decision to put Jesus Christ at the center of their life. I'm living for him. Come what may, me and my household, we're living for him.
And we need spiritually tough guys. We need tough guys out here. We don't have, like you're saying, I'll just do this, or I'll just do a little bit of this or a little bit of that for the Lord. But we'll go out here and sporting events and all these other things and put full bore into it. Yeah. This is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But how much are we giving to the Lord? If you really knew Jesus Christ, if you knew what he did for us, like you talked about, sacrificed on it, we would give everything we can to him.
Absolutely.
Then all the other stuff will fall into place.
Look at these guys on a Sunday, an NFL weekend, they got their jerseys on, their face painted and all stuff. There's no sense in which they're ashamed of their team.
I know.
But how many have actually stood up in their marketplace, in their workplace, in their neighborhood and said, I stand for Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. If you're more committed to your NFL team than you are to Jesus Christ, watch out, because you're going to die one day. And he said, you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Yeah. Acknowledge me before men, and I will acknowledge you before my Father. We got to choose our side.
You think about it, too. Guys will spend 20 hours in a week preparing for the football game. They'll watch football all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and then just to get to Mass for 1 hour is a big deal. Like, I got to throw the Lord a bone. You know what I mean? I'm just going to throw instead of saying no. He's got to become the center of your life. The passion you feel for all those other wonderful things, they all have to become secondary to the passion that you have for Jesus Christ. And that's what he's calling you to, and he'll give it to you.
You talked about in the workplace. To me, it starts in the family.
You're right.
We're afraid as men, a lot of times, men, to stand up for Jesus Christ in our own family.
We will be opposed. I mean, I've got great kids, but they don't want to hear it, at least at first. They're kind of like, come on.
With them rolling,
and it's tough, and because there's so much pressure on them, and I find myself being tempted to retreat. Yeah. And we can't do that.
Right. Yeah. And gentlemen, I think that, you know, guys who are watching might wonder, how on earth do I really go about making this decision to follow Jesus? And we know that it has to come with prayer. We can't do it on our own. Mm-hmm. So perhaps one of you could lead us in a prayer that we'd come to Jesus, come to know him.
I'd be happy to do that. Yeah. You know, what we want to do right now is just turn to God and just talk to him the way that we can as a friend, as a trusted friend. And we're gonna acknowledge his goodness, and that Christ has come to rescue us, and that we can give our lives right now. So let's
join in prayer with us.
Yes, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we know and trust that you are a good and gracious and loving God. You have plans for us, Lord, that are for our welfare and not for our calamity. And yet, Lord, we've drifted. We've ignored you. We've turned our back on you and chosen our own way in so many ways. We come before you, Lord, and we want to turn again to you. We want to accept the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as full and complete payment for our sins. Lord, we want to turn to you, Lord Jesus, and accept you as the Lord of our lives, the Savior of our lives. We invite you into our heart of hearts, that you would live there, that you would guide and direct our every step and every action. There's nothing that we can do to earn this grace, Lord, but you offer it to us freely, and we merely have to accept it. And so right now, in your presence, we accept you as our Lord. Be the Lord of every aspect of our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Curtis. Amen. Thanks. Powerful prayer, Curtis. We'll get the last word on knowing Jesus and go to our email bag in the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the end zone now on Becoming Disciples, Knowing Jesus. And before we get to the last word on our topic this week, let's look at the email bag. Got one from Steve. What is the best way scripturally to end a gambling problem before it gets out of control and causes harm?
That's a good question. I think standing first on the biblical truth for every disciple that we've inherited, we've been given a gift of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For freedom Christ has set us free, and the truth will set you free. So tell the truth about what's going on in your life. Go talk to somebody who can give you help. Find some brothers who can stand alongside you to hold you accountable. Talk to your priest, whoever can help you, and come into the light with exactly what's happening in this area of your life.
And just the fact that you've recognized that you're at a point that it could become a real problem is a huge step. All right, this next email is from Jim. He's Polish. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but it has two Z's and two K's.
Yeah.
And ends with S-K-I.
Exactly.
So, Danny, I'm sure you're going to want to take this one. He says, I was watching your show. You were talking about our Lord's plans for us. Not the first time I've heard this discussion. Everyone seems to discern what the Lord wants for them to do. I am getting older. I have no clue what the Lord wants me to do.
Well, Jim, you know, God does have a plan for you. But we have to be listening to God's plan. Sometimes we do most of the talking and the Lord will not interrupt. We keep talking, Lord, what about this? What about that? Just be quiet, Jim. Try being quiet for about a week and listen to the Lord. He'll give you his plan.
You know, Jim, one of the things that we share with young people, but I think it applies to anybody, is to do exactly what Coach just said, and that is to sit quietly before the Lord. And then as you're there, recognize there'll be things in your life. Might be the pro-life issue, the breakdown of marriage, the epidemic of pornography, whatever, there is going to be something or some things that are going to either make you very angry or very sad or bring you great joy. Those touch points are probably touch points that God's going to use to lead you into what he's calling you towards.
And we encourage you to send us emails from all over the world because people are watching on American Forces Network, the members of our military. And Danny found out recently that they're also watching in Poland, in a monastery.
It was unbelievable. Father Simon at the Częstochowa in the monastery, the Paulus priest, I believe they are. We were going through a tour there, and he says, are you on Crossing the Goal? I said, Father, how did you know that? He says, oh, we watch it every Sunday night. The abbot gave us permission to watch it. So, hey, send us some emails, Father Simon.
That's great to know you're watching all across the world. All right, it's time for the last word on Becoming Disciples, Knowing Jesus. We'll start with Peter.
Thanks, Brian. During our time we were praying and asking the Lord to be the Lord of our life, if you've made that decision tonight, that's the best decision of your life. And if you did, I want to challenge you, send us an email at crossingthegoal.com and let us know you made that decision and we'll get back to you because we want to support you in that decision.
And building upon that, Peter, really, you've just done something that there's really nothing more important in life to do, and that is to stand before our Lord. And we have to come back again and again. Christianity is a big yes. Hopefully many of you made that big yes right now, but it's followed by lots of little yeses. The Lordship of Christ is an ongoing, steady obedience in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, men, here's what I want you to do. Your assignment. For the next 7 days, I want you to go to the Gospels and start reading the Gospels and finding out about Jesus, about knowing his ways, all about Jesus. Spend that time, men, and see what happens.
And there will be a test.
Yes. Yeah.
Coach is going to come back and check with you. Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, thank you so much. Our Crossing the Goal team, I'm Brian Patrick. Next time on Crossing the Goal, following Jesus. We look forward to see you then.